You are so scattered. There's nothing you do that can ever be in order. Which kind of child is this one, self? I don't know where I got this from. You think you are angry, but you are forming this child's mindset in a particular fashion. So in life, when they say this is the proper way to do things, the spirit created by his parents, people who had authority over him as a child, he rises up and says, this is the proper order. You do it like this, you will pass, you will succeed, you will be great in life. But because you can never do anything wrong, right in your life, remember, your life is disordered. So when they say left, right, is it left, right, left, 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 right? That spirit scatters the order. And the RSM cannot understand what's wrong with this small soldier. You see my point? I said, left eye, left eye. The guy said, yes, sir, yes, sir. Left eye. Then the spirit comes up again and says, listen, no, in your life, you can never be ordered. So the guy goes, left eye, left eye, left eye, 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 left, right. Then he takes the right number of times. The RSM says, I go kill this boy. It's not his fault. When he was young, they told him he could never do well. And there it is. It formed the spirit in him. It's playing out. When they say, come to work by 7, he will get there at 7:15. If they say, close at 6, by 4 o'clock, he will run away. There is a spirit in him, pushing him. And he doesn't know. And they've told, that's why, Jesus said, be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear it. I told you, there's a woman I met once, a young woman, and I felt sorry for whoever the husband that will marry her will be. My reason was simple. This girl had this, Christian good girl, had this fixation that every man womanizes. Pastor, bishop, young convert, once you're a man, you have no self-control. And I used to wonder, what is wrong with you? If she marries without that thought pattern changed, oh my God, she's going to frustrate somebody's life. Every text message, you go grab her. Maybe you see a number plus 234707, you know, just normal number. No name. That's what I'm trying to say. So we are going to see tomorrow at 12 now. So where are you going tomorrow at 12? Why are you going there at 12? In fact, I'm taking leave tomorrow. I want to escort you to wherever you are going tomorrow. See what I'm saying? After a while, the man will look and like, I don't, you, now, he had not, did you get my point? The man is, maybe, is just his business partner that says that, okay, oh, pick the stuff up by 12 o'clock tomorrow, so we'll see at 12. No big deal. Are you getting my point? But in the mind, the thought pattern, the whole of life is wrecked. He said, your thoughts, all right, are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. It now affects her ways. Becomes suspicious, begins to harass a decent man's life. And vice versa. I have friends then. No, not as then. I cannot have a friend like that. I mean, they're just fellow coppers. All right? I had, you know, one of them will stay in the same house, you know, stuff like that. They say, this boy, you are very stupid. You believe that women can be trusted? I said, yes. He said, no, it's not possible. And that one will marry one day. Listen, it is not. That's not what makes successful marriage. Bye 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 to daddy. All of you are dancing. You get a good shot. Okay. Now go set to Ricardo. Don't want to thank you. We know the musician has gone home too. Amen. Now we are just the two of us. That's when all the thoughts that was plaguing the fellow's heart, at least that manifest. I'm saying all of this is to let you know that. Let me focus on that. How you think about yourself is what is affecting how your life will turn out. And many people are raised to have negative thoughts about themselves. You know, a friend of mine cracked a joke. Okay, this is Nigeria, so it's not going to offend many people. He said, black. He said, I hope I'm not being racist. He lives in America. He said, there's a joke they tell in America that a Mexican man once took his son to a tush part of town, you know, that kind of tush part of town, you know, where the millionaires live. And you go there, you see nice houses, beautiful lawns and everything. So he told his friend, Carlos, his brother, his son, Carlos, you know, I told you, you read your book. The boy said, yes, daddy. You work very hard. He said, if you do everything I've told you, maybe one day, well, point to those houses, you'll grow up to be able to mow a lawn like this. Of course, you were waiting for me to say, you'll grow up to own a house like this. He said, no. You'll grow up to mow a lawn like this. Now, this is what I'm coming to. He said that, what he was saying is that, the mindset, all right, is that we don't own such houses. We mow such lawns. Now, it sounds like a joke, but you know, there are people who think like that. Yeah. Just by the way, the richest man in the world is Mexican. All right? Carlos Slim. All right? He's a Mexican. So let's get that clear. All right? He's a Mexican. It's just the way people think about other people. They talk down other people. That's why, just like somebody told me that joke. Is that okay? All right. The richest man in the world is a Mexican. Let's get that clear. It's not an American. It used to be Americans, but Carlos Slim dusted them quite a while ago. All right? And he's a Mexican. Are you getting my point? And the richest black man in the world is a Nigerian. All right? You get the point? Yes. And some of the most effective ministers in Nigeria, in the world, are Nigerians. Is that okay? Any good thing can occur from anywhere. You get down to India. Among the top 10 richest men in the world, about 2 or 3 of them are from India. You are getting what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, so don't think only white people are richest in the world. Don't worry. This thing is spread everywhere. Yes, there are many billionaire Chinese people. Amen? Yes, and Nigerians too, we are that rich. We didn't know how to document. Now that we are documenting and we are, you know, we are very rich. Amen? Amen. For your information, that's why this man, just by the way, John Johnson's, all right, that the founder of Ebony, that was why I started the magazine, to give the black man pride. Because everybody told the black man he could amount to nothing. Yes. Most white people told most black men they could amount to nothing. And this is the bad side of it. They believed it. When Barack Obama was contesting the American presidency, my friend was telling me about earlier, who was telling me the story, that they were talking on the phone. He said, Banky, that I'm waiting. He said, to all intents and purposes, Barack Obama has won this election. He said, that is going to finally end the American black man's excuses. If you watched it that day, if you watched the when they announced the result, all right, not even the inauguration, when the results were announced and all of that, Jesse Jackson, he was crying. This woman, Oprah Winfrey, couldn't control herself. All right? What's the name of this guy? Anyway, a lot of those guys, I remember Puff Daddy, all right? Puff Daddy, he said, now I can tell my son he can be president. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's another guy who makes movies, Spike Lee. Spike Lee said, my grandmother, he said, my mother is at home watching this. Her mother was born a slave. Now, you are getting what I'm not explaining. So for them, it was not a joke. It was something serious. And I was listening to Jack Hayford a few days ago, and he said it was a sign of hope. This is an elderly white man. When he preached that message, he was 74. All right? He said, for him, this is a sign of hope. Do you get my point? So Barack Obama winning that election, it concerned me personally. It did, because I preached messages about the black race before then. It concerned me personally. What am I saying? A lot of people are brought up to think that it can't be anything. And let me get back to the main thing I was saying. And it's inside them. They are struggling like everybody else, but inside them, they know. Oh, you don't realize what I'm saying. They know inside they can never do well. I'm not saying they think. They are sure. They are persuaded. Their father told them they could never do well. Their mother told them they could never do well. People treated them like never do wells. And every little mistake they made in life, it was used to amplify the fact that they can never do well. Are you getting my point? Have you noticed how a bright student in class will be. I remember this happened when I was in secondary school. The best student in my school, we're not in the final year, they were in fourth year. He had paper in his pocket, you know, and somebody caught him that, why was he having expo, you know, in his pocket during an exam, you know? And he explained that it was a mistake. This is the interesting part. Apart from the teacher who caught him, every other teacher believed it was a mistake. I remember once he and I were walking, and one of our teachers called him, come here. I saw this in your paper. What happened? And he explained, sir, I was reading before then. I packed my things in my paper in my pocket when we went into class. Now, this one I'm making. And the teacher said, oh, what a pity. Oh, are you serious? They were sympathizing with him. Every teacher sympathized with him. Just like the teacher who caught him that day was the wicked one. I'm not getting an issue. Because they said, this guy is a good student. But let's drop that. Let's say somebody else. And this time, it's truly a mistake. I believe that guy was a mistake. He didn't need to do it. He didn't need it. So, I believe it was an error. He could recite the whole book of head. I know him. It must have been a mistake. Just an oversight. But if it was somebody else, you know what they would do? Yes. No matter the story he tells, once he was not one of those bright students, yes, he needs to pass. Nobody, even his own father. When he gets back home, his father will say, I knew one day you would disgrace me. And this was the real error. What I'm saying is that, so you see, your mistakes in life may have been used against you. I've spoken enough about the negative side. Let me tell you, in the midst of all of this, what was God saying? That's what I'm going to. Let me read my scripture. The one I really want to use for today's teaching, Ephesians chapter 1. I said to you something some time ago. Please go and listen to our series, Only in Christ. I preached different ones, some of them during prayer meetings, some of them on Tuesday during our exhortation sessions here. You have to understand that. You must understand that. That's how God sees. He only sees in Christ. And when I was preaching that, I said, as far as God is concerned, you may see Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. And if you're a Catholic, you just feel like adoring her. She's the most adorable thing that ever happened. Sorry to disappoint you if you're a Catholic. Please don't be angry with me. Rahab or Mary, God saw the same thing. The Bible says that he's able to save to the uttermost. I don't know whether you get what that means. That is, there's no depth that somebody may have sunk to that the blood of Jesus cannot draw the fellow out from. You can imagine Saul, as he was persecuting, what was God saying? One of the greatest apostles that this world will ever see. So as you are there, having failed once, twice, three, four times, God is saying, this is the most intelligent professor that the realms of science will ever see from Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? As you are lamenting how you can never do well, God is just thinking that if Bill Gates lives long enough, he will look poor beside this guy one day. And that's what God is seeing. And you see, you must understand something. God does not talk nice. I don't know whether I get my point. God doesn't jizz. He doesn't yearn. He doesn't talk nice. He talks matter of factly. He looked at Abraham. A father of many nations, I have made you. You are talking to a man who is about 80 years of age, over 75. You talked like that to him till he was 100. When he started talking like that, he didn't have a child. And you are telling him a father of, and this is not spiritual talk. You know the spiritual talk. Jesus came one day and said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know. We will all rise again. I know he will rise again on the last day. Jesus said, no, I'm not talking spiritual talk. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he dies, yet he will live. Where have you laid him? You get what I'm saying? That was the kind of talk God was talking with Abraham. When he said, a father of many nations I have made you. Listen, he was addressing Abraham the way Abraham could understand. That is, you will not only have a child, you will have many, you will have grandchildren. Are you getting my point? You will have great-grandchildren, and your descendants will take over all these lands of the Canaanites. And how was Abraham seeing himself? What do you give me, seeing that I go childless? If your encounter with God has not changed the way you see yourself, you need to give your life to Christ again. You understand what I mean? You need to get back home and say, God, I'm so sorry. I claim I gave my life to Christ last year, but I've been thinking the same way about myself. Alright? Till now, as I was before then. Let's start again. Because when Abraham encountered God, you get what I'm saying? He had a thought pattern about himself. And when he encountered God, God said, no, let me show you how I think about you. Let's settle it. From now on, your name will be Abraham, to reflect my thinking pattern about you. And listen, it will affect your ways. You are getting what I'm saying? One of the reasons why Nigerians, at least very common, steal, is because they can't think of prosperity any other way. They are so sure that, no, I remember when we were young then, at least, I mean, much younger than I am right now. I'm not old yet, but you know what I'm saying? It was bred inside all our systems that every very wealthy man is a criminal. And I still heard somebody say it a few days ago. And he said, I should get away. In fact, I actually heard an elderly professor say it, that there's no rich man that's not a criminal. I said, sir, it's not true. I said, you don't know anything. That they are all criminals. I said, sir, it's not true. A man can walk with God and God will make him so rich. People will steal and steal and steal. They won't be able to steal close to what he has. They will steal from him, he will get richer. I said, it's not true. Now, a lot of young people, do you know it's in their hearts? They were brought up like that. The same people bringing them up like that, telling them that we are dead without money. What are you saying? Please be a criminal. You must learn how God thinks about you. God is saying that you can fail all you want. That's your problem. What I see, you are a father of many companies. Are you getting my point? I know. The last 3 years, my father was right. I can never do anything well. Everywhere I have applied for a job, they have refused. You know, there are two ways, depending on your thinking pattern, to interpret it. Either I'm a failure, which is one way, or God never wanted me to get a job. He wanted me to create jobs. The same experience, two different conclusions. The second one is born out of a kingly mentality. Do you get my point? Yes. I told you something then. You know, young men, antenna up again, all right? I have this for you. As a single man, I was so full of myself. This is my wife, this one. Told it to me in my face one day. I used to see young guys. You want to go and see a woman, you dress up everywhere. Spray perfume where you not get. I had a problem. What was my problem? I just believed I was finer than you. So there's nothing that I'm doing you a favor chasing you. It was inside my soul. So if I ask you to marry me and you refuse, I feel sorry for you. I'll get there. My wife reminded me now of what I used to say. Then listen. Now, listen. I was striking, you get my point. I had this pair of keto sandals. Did you wear keto? And I said to everybody, that, look, my colleagues in the office, ladies, they used to laugh. I said, listen, planes only take passengers on the ground. It doesn't mean they can't fly. That I'm the pilot of a great jet going somewhere great. Now we are still grounded. We are not taking off yet. We are on the ground. That there is a seat vacant, co-pilot, beside me. I'm offering you. You are doing shakara. Somebody more worthy than you will take it. That was my attitude. I felt so. When I first told my wife all of these things, one day she looked at me and said, "You're just full of yourself." I went home to pray about it. I came back next day and told her that I heard what you said yesterday. I've come to announce to you it's not true. I am full of God. I discovered what God said about me, and that's what I'm just sharing with you. You see, you watch a movie. Angelina, if you don't marry me, I'm going to die. God looked at me and said, "Before you were born, I knew you. Before you were from the mother's womb, I consecrated you. And you want to now die because Angelina doesn't want to marry you. If I catch you, I'll kill you myself." Sorry, those were my ways. Why? Because of my thoughts. Believe me, formed from the word of God. I wasn't speaking on a natural plane. That was why, listen, when people were saying, "If you don't go to America, you won't make it." I didn't have money, get my point. My salary also, no, it's not as if my father left one big inheritance for me that time. No, my salary in a month also was 6,000 naira a month. And dollar was 70 naira to the dollar. Naira was 70 naira to the dollar. And I told people, "I am not going to kill in this, the way you people kill to get a visa." Why? Because I think prosperity is there. I said, "God forbid that." I said, "God catches me there." I was quoting David Oyedepo. "He will be so angry with me, he will put me out of ministry." You go and kill. Now, the problem is that people want to copy ways. They don't know there's a thought pattern behind it. What am I saying? When God is seeing you, that's what he's seeing. He doesn't see a man, a woman who wants to go somewhere to make it in life. He's seen a man, a woman, he put the substance of greatness inside that wherever they are or wherever they go, they create success. They don't adapt to local successes. Do you get the point I'm making? That's what God sees. So, for that reason, you walk tall, you know, you straighten your shoulder. It doesn't mean you have money in your pocket. That's not what you must. A woman was preaching last time, last Sunday. I was preaching at IMT or 2 days ago. He too was there, and he said, "You must succeed first in your mind." He was describing how he's a Jamaican. I think he's an American citizen now. All right, moved to the US, started passing a church that had been there for over 100 years, and their congregation was 5 people. In 3 years, they grew to be 500. Sugar Ray Leonard was a member of that congregation. Some prominent musicians, you know, were going to that church. Then he ordained a female minister one day, and some people ganged up and had they expelled him from the church in short. One day he was coming to church, and he saw a police officer waiting and said, "I have a restraining order stating that you cannot enter the premises of this church." He said, looked at the officer, shook his hand and told him, "Thank you. I just lit a fire in me." He said, "I was not angry." He went back home. 2 months later, one day he was outside, you know, he was in his house, then he saw cars parking. And he saw a lot of people from his church, they came to his house. And he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "We came for service." He said, "Which service?" So we came for church service. That was the day ministry started in his house. Now he has many branches everywhere in the US. He was preaching. He said, "Once you succeed in your mind, you can succeed anywhere." Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you I'm describing how God sees you. He does not see you as a sinner. Are you getting what I'm saying? What he sees is what? A righteous person made righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is crucial and righteousness is powerful.
What sin does is that it kills your ability to receive God's glory. And righteousness restores that ability. So what Satan does is that he tells you are not righteous. Because you have done this wrong, you have done this wrong. I told you and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. When God saw Rahab and God saw Mary, there was no difference. Are you getting what I'm saying? What God sees is the blood of Jesus. In Christ Jesus, all their sins are forgiven. Let's read that scripture so I can finish this well without leaving some things out. If you don't see yourself the way God sees you, you are begging to fail. What God sees in you is that you don't need, like, they denied you a job does not mean anything. You are a blessed man. It's a beggar's mentality that makes you feel bad for yourself when somebody denies you a job. You should feel bad for the company. You should. You are a blessing. Let's read that Ephesians chapter 1. Let me start from verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He said, now notice that verse 3. He said, he has blessed us with some spiritual blessing. With what? Every. My Bible, this New American Standard. Every or all, whichever version you are using, they all say the same thing. He said, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is, there's no aspect of life it does not cover. The blessing covers your health. It covers your destiny. It covers your marriage. It covers your business. It covers everything. He said, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Everybody say holy. And blameless before him. He said, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. He said, in him, that is in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. He said, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. He said, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. Now let me just stop there. Now, there's a reason why I read this. There's so much in the writings of Paul. I'll just try and decipher, all right, or decode some of them for us to relate with in this our teaching. First, he said there are blessings. If you've not read this, my book, unfortunately, we don't have copies right now. They're kind of out of print. We'll get them later. Titled, The Blessing. In fact, the day I wrote that book, my wife and I went somewhere. She went to pick her material from a tailor. And while the lady was making adjustments, I was in the car. I just had an inspiration. I brought out a piece of paper. I really wrote the book. I just wrote the outline there. And I go back home and put flesh to it. If you can, please get a hold of it. Titled, The Blessing. All right? Now, a blessing is an empowerment to succeed. That's the summary. All right? God blessed them. The Bible says, saying, be fruitful and multiply. So his words empowered them to be fruitful. It empowered them to have dominion. Are you getting my point? And that's a blessing. Now, there is what is called the blessing. The blessing is a summary of every good thing that God ever desired in his heart, all right, for you and I to have. Are you getting my point? And that it crystallized and puts in that name called Christ. We've been studying that. Can you remember that? That is, every good thing in life has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, that's why he said we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What am I saying? Now, let me just quickly go over this to help me tie everything I'm saying together, all right? Remember I said this to us, I've preached several times here.